Well, hey guys, my name is Clay Munkus, and I get to be one of the pastors here at Next Level, and I want to welcome everybody watching online via Facebook Live or YouTube Live, and not only here in Charlotte, we want to just welcome everybody that is now in 15 different states from around the country. Wherever you're watching from, when you're ready to connect with us, just do me a favor and head over to nextlevelchurch.org/connect and fill out that form that's there, and we'll send you a free gift along with some information on how you can get connected with us as a church, even if you're not in Charlotte. So today, I was impressed by the Holy Spirit to kind of take a step away from our current series for just 1 week and address some of the things that I see going on among our fellow Christians. And as I talk about this, I want to remind you that Next Level, we're serious about that thing, your story is safe here. And what I mean by that is you will never get any judgment here, especially in the messages, the ones we preach every Sunday. Heck, you may not know this, but most of the time, the topic that I'm teaching on is one that I'm currently struggling with myself, or it's one that I've struggled with in the past. And honestly, what I'm going to talk about today, I'm not really seeing it a lot in our own church right now, but I still want to address it. And the reason that I want to do so is because if we're not careful, it will seep into our church culture from the larger Christian culture. And if that happens, everything that we love about how our church feels will begin to change, and not really for the better. So let me take you back to 1991. In 1991, Rodney King, he kind of suffered a horrific beating from the police there in L.A., and it was followed by some massive riots that were going on. And into that, he speaks this phrase that has made its way into our culture as he pleaded with people on TV, "Can't we all just get along?" And the idea is that can we just all learn to accept each other's differences? And can we find healthy ways to maintain relationships despite those differences? And really what we're talking about is this word right here, conflict. Conflict, that's a tough one. And conflict can come in various forms and in various ways. There can be conflict of interest. There can be conflicting opinions. We can certainly have conflict over politics. We see that a lot. But we can also have conflict over differing ways to manage money or how to raise children or how do we spend our free time. And we can even have conflict on how we show love to someone else. Conflict is just one of those things that we've all dealt with, on some level, big level, small level. And some people, they go out of their way to avoid conflict. Maybe you've met those people. And there's others who actually just enjoy conflict, and social media is riddled with that. And we even have a term for people who stir up trouble online. It's called trolls. But not every angry tweet is somebody trolling a post. Most of the time, it's just people who do not know how to correctly deal with conflict. And there are some companies, and they're brilliant around using humor and how to deal with online conflict. And I was reading through a few of those this week, and I thought I would share some of my favorites with you. And here's the first one. This is regarding a grocery store over in Great Britain, Sainsbury's. And someone writes and says, "Dear Sainsbury's, the chicken in my sandwich tastes like it was beaten to death by Hulk Hogan, was it?" Now, I love their reply. They reply, "Hey, at Tubber Jones, really sorry it wasn't up to scratch. We will replace Mr. Hogan with Ultimate Warrior on our production line immediately." That's great. Here's another one. Old Spice says, "Why is it that fire sauce isn't made with any real fire? Seems like false advertising." And then Taco Bell right back at him. Old Spice, "Is your deodorant made with really old spices?" I love that. This one, though, really made me laugh out loud. So this guy tweets out and he says, "I saw a bird had pooped on a smart car, totaled it." And I love their response. This is one of the best. "Couldn't have been one bird at Add to the Bone. Sounds more like 4.5 million. Seriously, we did the math," right? And then what made me laugh was the chart that they built. They actually built this chart. And it says, "Weight of bird poop required to damage smart tritium safety cell. 4.5 million pigeons, or 360,000 turkeys, or 45,000 emu poops." So that is just great. And you probably can't see it, but way down here in the fine print, I love this. It says, "Figures are estimated and may not be exact, but they're not totally full of crap." I mean, I love it, right? Humor online can do a lot to diffuse things. But in all seriousness, conflict can be a serious problem, especially if we let it go on. And the hands-down biggest contributor to conflict is miscommunication or misunderstanding. And we probably could, and we probably should do a whole series on that. But once conflict has emerged, there are three big things that can keep the conflict going. And each one is kind of bad enough by itself. But when one combines with the other, or boy, if you get all three, womb, watch out, things are going to explode. And these three things are the biggest reasons that we can't seem to get along with each other. And the first one is this. It's anger. All right? Anger. Anger stirs up conflict. Anger causes us to do bad things in retaliation, right? It can cause us to hate, seek revenge, plot sabotage, all those negative responses to conflict. Anger is a conflict producer. And I'm sure all of us have a story of when our anger got the best of us and made the situation worse. So anger is the first ingredient. And the second ingredient is impatience, right? Impatience seems to be something that we have loads of in our society today. We seem to want quick and easy solutions to everything. But when it comes to relationships or complex, systematic societal problems, offering simple answers and jumping to conclusions too early in the process, it can really irritate people. And because we don't take the time to really define the problem, seldom do we even come up with good solutions. And anyone who works to resolve conflict knows that you just can't rush through it. It takes time. And so we have anger and we have impatience. But this third one is probably the biggest reason that conflict takes so long to resolve. And in many instances, it never gets resolved. And it's this: pride. Pride. Sometimes we stay in conflict with people because of our overwhelming desire to be right. In other words, we have to get our point across. We have to get the last word, and we feel that the other person has to take our advice, and if they don't, well, there's going to be major conflict. Well, friends, that's pride. And even if we're right, even if our advice is solid, that doesn't mean that there has to be conflict about it. No one's going to take our advice any faster because we force them to do it. Pride just breeds and extends conflict. So those are the three. There's the three things that stir up conflict. So what about the ability to resolve conflict? How do we get around these things? Well, Paul actually gives us some really good advice on this. The church at Ephesus had gone through some difficult things, and there were some moral issues, and there were some deep doctrinal concerns that had arisen. And as you can imagine, there probably was some conflict inside the church as people began to choose sides. And no doubt there was an us versus them kind of mentality that was going on. So Paul, he writes to them from prison because he had been arrested for his faith, and he's worried that things are going to implode if he doesn't intervene. And he spends the first three chapters of the letter kind of reminding them, hey, God created the church as a holy community. Then in chapter 4, Paul makes his purposes really clear. He expects these Christians to follow several practices in their relationships inside the church, in the home, and in the world. And in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 4, we get three virtues. And if we practice these three virtues, not only do we resolve conflict around us, but we honor the name that we carry as Christians, the name of Jesus. So let's look in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 1, and this is what Paul writes. He says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received." And that little word, calling, could be translated as vocation. And I kind of like the word vocation more because it has more of a permanent ring to it, meaning you're engaged in this for life. Our lives are to be a vocation for Jesus. You've been called to this. This is not just a seasonal thing that you grow out of. This is not meant to be something that we're excited about today and then fades away over time. Now, since we're in this for the long haul, Paul's saying, we need to know how to behave in such a way that we deal with our conflict, that we don't let our conflict spiral out of control and thus wind up living a life unworthy of our calling. And so Paul gives us three things, three virtues that we need to practice. So in verse 2, he says, be completely humble and gentle. So the first thing Paul says is that we need to have humility instead of pride. And while pride breeds conflict, humility will allow me to be concerned about others. Humility will allow me to be interested in your interest. Plus, humility will allow me to look at conflict in kind of an objective way, from a realistic perspective. It allows me to ask questions like, well, what responsibility do I carry in this conflict? Or what fault lies with me? Or what part do I play in all of this? And if I'm acting according to humility, I provide an opportunity for conflict to be resolved. So Paul says you need to have humility and gentleness. And so he goes on, be completely humble and gentle. And then he says, be patient. So Paul says we need humility instead of pride, but now we also need patience instead of impatience. And I read a quote this week that said this, patience, and I love this, patience is something that you admire in the driver behind you, but not in the driver ahead of you, right? And the type of patience that Paul is talking about has an element of endurance in it. It's being able to sit through any situation without trying to manipulate the outcome into something that we want. To be patient is to believe that God is sovereign and that he can lead us and he can lead the other people or the other person to the place of wholeness. And if impatience contributes to conflict, patience will help resolve conflict. So in order to remove conflict, we need humility instead of pride. We need patience instead of impatience. But as followers of Jesus, we also need love instead of anger. Love instead of anger. If anger is the fuel that keeps conflict going, love is kind of like the extinguisher on the flames of conflict. Now listen to how Paul says it as he continues in verse 2. So be completely humble and gentle, be patient, and then he says, bearing with one another in love. Love. Love is the antidote to anger, and love is the inclusive Christian value. And actually, humility and patience, they're just kind of a dimension of love. And we know that God is love. We've talked about that. And he calls us to become who we were made to be, people made in his image, people made for love. And since God showed his love to those who were in conflict with him, in fact, they were enemies of him, we need to respond with that kind of love, not just to loving God, but also loving each other as well. And then Paul says this very important statement in verse 3. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of peace through the Spirit and the bond of peace. When Paul uses this phrase, unity of the Spirit, he's referring to the church as a community with one purpose, the will of God. And without humility, patience, and love, there can really not, it just can't be community. And we certainly can't be unified towards our singular purpose, to love God and love people. But if we do these things, it brings peace and it brings unity. And so each of these three virtues, they depend on us getting ourselves out of the center. That is what community is all about. It's dependent on that. And that's what makes for peace and allows a resolution of conflict. So, now, what does all this mean to us? And Clay, why did you take a break from our series just to talk about this? Well, here it is. For the past 2 months, I've kind of kept my eye on how the church has responded to this COVID-19 crisis. And certainly for churches, businesses, and families alike, it's presented a near constant array of complex challenges. But the next challenge is perhaps the trickiest yet. How do we prudently resume in-person gatherings? And when it comes to churches, it seems real simple, right? I mean, just open up. Just open up the building and go back to the way things were in February. But I think that we're all aware that nothing can really be that simple. Because in addition to all the logistical details, you know, things like maintaining social distance and limiting crowd size and whether or not to require masks, to sing, to not sing, and what do we do with the children, and on and on and on it goes. The whole conversation is fraught with potential for division. Even in our own church, we have some who are eager to meet. They're ready to get back, right? We want to meet. And we have some who feel, well, it's really unwise to meet until there's a vaccine. And probably the majority of us fall somewhere in between those positions. So how do we move forward with such a vast difference of views? Well, we take Paul's advice, and we exercise humility, patience, and love. And as we continue to go through this crisis, we could all use a little more humility. And the church really should be leading the way. As much as ever before, Christians should follow the advice of James, the brother of Jesus, to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Whatever opinions we have on the matter of reopening, Paul would implore us to take time to humbly hear the voice of others. And likewise, we should model Christ-like humility in how we react to the plans outlined by leaders, even if we don't agree with every aspect of it. And in this area, I would call on everyone who's a part of Next Level to kind of model humility to the world by acknowledging that everything is not obvious. And we're all just trying the best we can to build the plane in midair, so to speak. And also ask that we model not just humility, but patience. Patience, it's just one of the rarest virtues in today's world, isn't it? And yet patience has rarely been more needed. And many of us, I get it, we're antsy to kind of break out of our stay-home isolation and get back to normalcy and get there as soon as possible. And hey, it's good and right to be eager to gather again at church in person. And that day will come. But we should be careful not to rush it. We should be careful not to go faster than experts suggest or go faster than those in our community can understand. And this is where Paul's charge really becomes reality. Just look at me again. This is what he says in Ephesians 4, verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And guys, patience will go a long way towards keeping unity. This is a complex situation, and we should exercise patience with one another as we kind of figure out what the new normal is. And those who are not comfortable with physical gatherings should be patient with those who are, and vice versa. And as hard as it will be to practice patience, remember that one day, this will just be a story that you tell. One day, you're going to summarize this whole pandemic in just a couple of sentences. And the good news is this. You get to choose today what story it is that you tell. Because, you see, your story could be, well, 2020 was a miserable year. I was cooped up at home. All I did was get angry and fume and vent about it online and in social media, and I just was angry. Or your story could be, yeah, 2020 was a tough year, but we made the best of it. In fact, I learned some new things, and I was patient, and it seemed like a long time, but we came out of it. In fact, I came out of it a better person because of it. One day, it's just going to be a story you tell. But patience will help you tell the better story. And the last virtue that we can exercise as Christians is a love for one another. And this is where we will be a countercultural model for the world. While the rest of the world is mired in fighting and arguing and bickering about this pandemic, what we will do by the power of the Holy Spirit is work to maintain unity. Even among vastly different opinions, we will model a love that places the interest of others above self. Let me give you an example. I know some might find it maddening to have to wear a mask during a church service or stay 6 feet away from everyone at all times. You might even think these precautions are a needless overreaction, and I kind of tend to maybe lean that way. But let me ask you a question. Even if you're right, can you not sacrifice your rightness for a season out of the love for others who believe the precautions are necessary? And likewise, those who think the lockdown should continue, let me ask you the same question. Even if you're right, should you be passing judgment on those who question the wisdom of government's ongoing restrictions? You see, what I believe is that churches should strive to honor people on both sides of the spectrum. Yes, it will require humility. Yes, it will require patience. And yes, it will require that we love one another. Will it cost each of us something? Sure, it will. But there is little that is more Christian than a posture of sacrifice. We should embrace sacrifice with gladness. Because when we do what Paul says, when we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, we truly do raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. And guys, if you want to talk with us more about this, feel free to join us on our Facebook online lobby Q&A that we're going to do following the service. All you got to do is click on the link that the moderators are going to place in the comments at the end of our service. And if you want to know what our plan is for reopening, you can find a link to that by going to the events page of our website. So just go to nextlevelchurch.org/events. But for now, let me pray for us. And before our band comes out, and we're going to ask them to lead us in one more song. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you and admit that conflict is hard. And resolving conflict is sometimes even harder. So thank you for the wisdom that you give us in your scriptures. And God, help me to become more humble and more gentle. Remind me that I don't have all the answers. And help me with that thing inside of me that just always has to be right. And God, help me with patience. Help me to not rush out ahead of you and get impatient with others who are not as far as I am in all of this. God, help me to love everyone. Help me to love people by placing their needs above my own. Help me to place the interests of others above my own interests. And finally, God, we ask you to give all of our leaders wisdom as they help us navigate the unknown. And for our church community, God, let us keep the unity of the Spirit. And may your Spirit bring us peace. It's in your Son's name that we pray, in Jesus' name, Amen. Well, hey, friends, thanks for joining us today. Before you head out into your day, let me talk to you about something really important. If you would like to help keep your church strong, you can do so by heading over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org/give and choose one of those options there. Just know that every dollar that you give makes sure that your church stays strong as we go through this crisis and that we're prepared more than ever to continue our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Now, by way of benediction, I want to read to you from the Message version what John chapter 7 says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out from the depths of anyone who believes in me this way. May you this week, may you thirst after God, may you find resolution to your conflict, and may you find living water, and may that life spill out from you onto everyone that's around you. Hey guys, have a blessed week. We'll see you on Facebook. We'll see you on Instagram every day this week. I'm praying for you, and I love you.